This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to another episode of Voices of the Valley, a podcast by the VRIC Youth. Alhamdulillah, today we have Dr. Haifa Yunus, the visiting scholar of Valley Ranch, our esteemed guest. Welcome, Dr. Haifa. So inshallah, today's topic that we wanted to talk about was the concept of a Ramadan Muslim. You know, a lot of people throw that term around. We've heard some jokes the past few weeks about if you're a regular at Aisha, you should get VIP parking. And the people that are just coming for Ramadan, khalas, you have to park on the street.
Oh, subhanAllah.
Joking. But what is your thoughts on that term, the Ramadan Muslim? What do you think of that?
A Ramadan Muslim or the Muslim in Ramadan?
The Ramadan Muslim. Or you could take it however angle
you yes. want. Yes. Because I don't need anything to define Ramadan. I need to define me in Ramadan. That's why I call the Muslim in Ramadan. Yes. I think we need to look at two things. What is Ramadan? And what is the Muslim? Basic. What is Ramadan? The origin, you know, I'm sure you know, the name Ramadan is from Ramad or Ramadan, which is severe heat. Yeah. Or the faint or a little bit of a rain, the light rain that comes at the end of the summer. And they say what it does, it actually makes the ground or the earth is cooler. Yeah, it's, so everything comes, and everything in this in our deen has something to do with the meaning of it, what it's supposed to do to me. Shiddat al-har, they said severe heat because of the heat, many explanation, but the heat of the hard work we do in Ramadan, the heat of fasting, the heat of all the admonitions and all the lectures and all the Quran, what it does to us. And on the other side, the rain that comes will make this heat, see the opposite? Yeah. The heat will make it less, so it will make me feel better. So that's Ramadan. And of course, all the hadiths we know, and all the, you will hear it all the time, man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu, whomsoever fast and prayed the night in Ramadan out of faith and looking for the reward, Allah will forgive the all the sins. What I look at as actually is the Muslim. Because that's what we need to focus on. Ramadan didn't change. Ramadan, from that time till now, it's the same. It's me, the Muslim. I ask myself, and I said, what is your goal in Ramadan? What do you want to be? And don't tell me I'm going to fast. The billions will fast. And don't tell me I'm going to pray in masjid. Many millions will do that. What is your goal? What are you going to tell Allah before and after? And see me, Ya Allah, before and after. I think whether it's a parking or no parking, I'm coming walking, I'm coming flying, is what is your relationship with Allah will be? Where are you now? Where do you want to be? And what are you going to do for to get there? Goals. I think we need to put three goals, general. And everyone do it according to their situation. You need to have a goal with Allah, personal. You and Him only. You need to have a goal with the people around you. And you need to have a goal with the earth and the creation of Allah, outside people. What's your relationship with Allah? What do you want to be? Real servant of Allah? Really? Really? If you're going to say yes, that's going to be a tough one. So you're going to submit to Allah from the beginning till the end. You came to the masjid, you came 1 hour before, and you have this beautiful place in the front, and you were sitting, and just 5 minutes before Taraweeh, you had to go to the bathroom. Guess what? You come back. Someone took your place. What are you going to do? How are you going to react? Are you a servant of Allah? Isn't that Allah made it happen? Are you going to say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ? Or are you going to get upset and you start making a fuss about it? So, one. Number two, with people. Same example. Are you going to apply, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبْ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ? Nobody will reach the level of faith unless you love to yourself. What you love for the others, okay, you wanted to be in the front, that somebody came, wanted to the front, give it. Third, same example, and you came with your bottle of water. Are you going to throw it in the masjid when you leave, half empty? Is that what Ramadan? So the three, if we put three goals, that will be the Muslim. I will reverse it. I will say the Muslim in Ramadan. And I'm going to say, this is me in Ramadan. Ya Allah, make it happen. Ya Allah, keep me going after.
Yes.
But I will say, if I am able to do it for 30 days, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, by His grace, I'm going to continue. Because you need 30 to 40 days to have a habit, to continue, to become a natural thing for you. So inshallah, it will be.
Inshallah. So one of the issues that youth bring up is that they're a new type of person in Ramadan. They feel as though they have imposter syndrome. You know, a few days before Ramadan, they were committing certain sins, or they weren't frequent in the masjid, and now they're leaving their sins behind and they're in the masjid all the time. What do you say to those youth that feel almost that this isn't real, and how do they sustain this good behavior outside of Ramadan?
Okay, I will say one thing. I will say it's beautiful. I don't want people to say, oh, I see you only in Ramadan.
Yeah.
Well, alhamdulillah, at least I'm coming in Ramadan. I will, because that's one way of shaitan coming to me as a person who usually comes to the masjid, and I'm going to talk to the people who I don't see them but in Ramadan from a pedestal. That's arrogance, I'm sorry. I'm going to say, Ya Allah, see, when you care about people, the second goal, Ya Allah, just like you brought them in Ramadan, keep them coming. That's number one. Number two, كل ابن آدم خطاء وغير الخطائين التوابون. Every child of Adam is a sinner, and the best among them are the ones who repent. So when I look at somebody, or she comes to me, or he comes to me and says, you don't know what I did before Ramadan, my answer is, I don't care. You know why? Because did you repent sincerely? If they repent sincerely, and Ramadan was the catalyst, I call it, the catalyst to make it easy, and you are sincere in your repentance, you will change after Ramadan. If you are not, you're just going to say, oh, it's Ramadan, I cannot do that. It's good, but may not bring the fruit you want to. So Ramadan is absolutely a way to help you change, but it will not change you unless you really want to change. Let them come to the masjid, but let them, and I don't call it masjid. You know what I call it? House of Allah. Is different. When I put my feet in that musalla, it's not my house, it's not my musalla, it's his house. I come respecting, honoring, having this awe inside me, see what he will give me. I come casual, carrying my whatever with me, sitting in the back looking at my iPhone and everything, he will give you what you want.
That's so true, subhanAllah. I think a lot of youth feel intimidated almost to come here, and you know, you have the masjid aunties and the masjid uncles that will constantly tell the youth, you're making ruckus, you're making noise, you know, stop. And sometimes they feel a little bit discouraged. They feel as though that people are looking down on them, and people even make comments to the effect of, you know, you're being a hypocrite right now, don't forget who you are, let's look at your social media, different things like this. How do you respond?
I can see it from the two sides, right, to be fair.
Yeah.
If I am a person who always look to the masjid as the person, the people who come to the masjid is only angels, right? Which 90% of the regular people who come to the masjid are not, I'm one of them, we're not angels. Yeah. But let's assume, meaning they are really righteous people. May Allah make us all righteous people. I can see what they are seeing.
Yeah.
But also they are seeing it from one side only. Why? Because if every uncle and auntie looked back at one point in their life, some maybe from the youth, from their young age, majority they were not there. Majority they didn't come to the masjid when they were 15 and 16. Majority, again, there could be. Or the majority they did not wear hijab when they were 15 and 16. So if I look at that person and I say, you know what, just like Allah guided me, Allah will guide them. If I am that side. Now as a youth, if I only change one thing, is why I am coming to the masjid. Well, it's a beautiful place so I can meet all my friends. Oh, they serve beautiful shawarma or beautiful. Then I'm getting what I am getting from it. And then I don't blame that group because I'm going to act as if I am in a cafeteria. I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink, I'm going to have fun. Can I do this in the way that pleases Allah? The answer is yes. So what I ask from the youth, definitely come. The house of Allah is for everybody, but there is rules. It's not my house. That's what I say to people. If you invite me to your home, Ya Amina, okay? And you put a big sign at the door and you say, take your shoes, please. And you said, please. And I come and I said, what is that? No, I'm not convinced. Why do I need to take a shoes off? And I come. Will you let me in the first time? You will, out of courtesy. Will you invite me again? No.
You're Dr. Haifa, of course.
No. No, you shouldn't, because if I didn't respect you, you shouldn't, right? So how can I do this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ I'm coming to Allah's house. What is the big deal? I say this to the youth all the time. What is the big deal if I came for 2 hours? 2 hours? 24? 2 hours, right? Come dressed the way pleases Allah. Don't dress to please people. You come the way dressed that pleases Allah. I'm going to try as much as I can to focus the way that pleases Allah. What is the big deal? It's only 2 hours. Then you want to have fun when you are done, which a lot of us have a lot of energy after Taraweeh, subhanAllah, the energy of spirituality, I call it. Then, yeah, go with your friends. But also when you left and wherever you are going, remember you're still the Muslim in Ramadan. Yeah. But there is a difference in the Muslim Ramadan inside the house of Allah versus outside. So I shouldn't say don't come, but I will say when you come, remember where are you.
Yeah. No, of course. And one of the questions that the youth ask is, you know, we have all of these great habits that we're forming in Ramadan, and we are essentially, inshallah, the best versions of ourselves. So for our lifestyles, school, work, everything, this amount of worship is not necessarily realistic for everybody all the time. Sure. So how do you maintain that spiritual high throughout the rest of the year?
I love that, because this is a problem not only for the youth, that's for everybody. I will say the following. Put one goal of worship. One goal of worship. You have to be very realistic. Ramadan has this spiritual energy that none of us has. It's the same thing when you go for Umrah, and you're so tired, and you're in Hajj, and you say, I'm just going to go and do one tawaf. No, I'm so tired. And then you say, come on, you came from the stage, just go. And then you don't know how you are. The moment you start the tawaf, you don't know where the energy came from. You are exhausted. And then when you finish tawaf, you're ready to do another one. Here you go. So the Ramadan gives the energy because of the spiritual energy. Now, don't remember shayateen are chained. Don't remember the barakah of everybody. When you come to the masjid and see thousands. But it's not realistic. I'm not going to be reading Quran as frequent as I do in Ramadan. I'm not going to do this amount of salah, let alone every day I'm fasting. What is the goal? That's what I kept saying. One good act of worship I am going to add to my daily life, and it's going to be non-negotiable in Ramadan. Most of them that I heard, I want to make sure I pray 5 times a day, and 5 times a day on time, and I'm nice to my parents. If you can achieve this, do it in Ramadan, ask Allah to help you, read about the virtue of it, what you are going to get. You finish this, and you continue with this after Ramadan, you have achieved a lot. Not everybody is going to do 20 rukat every day. Yeah. Come on. I mean, most of us don't do it every single day. Illa ma rahima rabbi, I'll say. Every day I'm going to read a juzu or two of the Quran. If you're not a hafiz, then you're not very comfortable with reading the Quran. Very few people. But I will get one act of ibadah in Ramadan that I am going to ask Allah, beg Allah, cry on the day night of Qadr when I'm crying. I'm going to say, Ya Allah, keep me doing it. And He will do. A lot of my personal extra acts of ibadah was goals of Ramadan. Yeah. And it continued.
That's how you form habits. It's exactly. The boot camp.
Boot camp, absolutely. Yes,
alhamdulillah. And when it comes to the last 10 nights, if there's people that have very busy work schedules, very busy school schedules, I mean, you're a gynecologist, I'm sure you understand the crazy workload. How do you deal with that guilt of not being able to give as much as the people around you?
A couple of things before even I feel guilty. Number one, I tell everybody who works, take time off the last 10 days, nights of Ramadan. Yeah. Take it off. I mean, we all take vacation, yeah. Right? So if you take 1 week, I will. If everybody wants, personally, you asked me, I always took it off. When I finished residency, before residency, I had no choice, of course. Right, but once I started working, my vacation is always, I say everything is negotiable. They always know this. Everything is negotiable, except the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is off, because if I want to really do it the way I want to do it, it's going to be tough with work. Let's say I can't do that. I can't take time off. I'm a mother of three. I am a student, high school or in college. What do I do? What does he want me? What is the spirit of the last 10 nights of Ramadan? I think that's people miss it. And even those who come every night and do i'tikaf, they miss it. What is the spirit of the last 10 nights of Ramadan? I am going to be severing myself from dunya. That's why there's i'tikaf in it. And what is i'tikaf? is seclusion. Seclusion from what? Seclusion from people. Seclusion from all distraction. So here I am. Let's take a regular college student. They have classes. They have classes in the evening. They have classes in the morning. And then there's probably tests and everything. Okay, that's dunya. But that's not dunya. That's Allah wants you to do this because that's part of your growth. As a Muslim, we need educated Muslim. This is not going to change. Can I make this, with all the struggle, an act of worship? The answer is yes. By, number one, don't disobey Allah. Don't disobey Allah in there at all. I am not going to be doing what everybody else is doing. It's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. I am not going to saying what everybody else is saying. I'm not going to be watching what everybody else is watching. It's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. I will sever, pull myself out, move myself out, social media. Oh, it's a huge problem. I will say YouTube, yes, but you watch only, like, definitely I have one coming in Ramadan. I know Sheikh Omar does one in Ramadan. If you're going to watch only that one, that's fine. Even better, we will send it to you in the email, in the newsletter, daily. So you don't have to go and check the YouTube. But why do I have to have TikTok every day in the last 10 nights of Ramadan? What is TikTok is going to give me? No. Why do I have to check my Instagram 5-6 times a day in the last 10 nights of Ramadan? The last 10 days of Ramadan, for those who cannot really cut a lot off their time, it will be takhliya, we call it. In spirituality, there is two concepts. One concept called takhliya, you empty, you clean. And the other one is tahliya, you beautify, you add sweets. The addition of sweets has to come with after this. It's like an infected wound. Unless you remove the pus, it's not going to heal, and you're going to put to the medicine. So if I cannot do both, in this day and age, especially youth, you need this. There's a lot of poisons we are faced. We don't even know it's a poison, but it's poisoning us, poisoning our thoughts, poisoning our hearts, poisoning our humanity. If I can work on this, again, I'll put 5 spiritual goals for the last 10 days of Ramadan, let's alone the nights. Don't waste. I don't have to stop going to college. Don't waste at all. If I'm going to put whatever in my food for iftar, I'm going to eat it. Well, I don't like it. I'm going to eat it. It's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Let alone it should be all Ramadan. Second, all my salah on time. People say, I don't have time. I said, please forgive me. Don't you go to the bathroom? Right? You have to. And nobody will tell you no. Look at it this way. You have to. I need to relieve my spirit. And I'm not going to say go and do 30 minutes salah, all the sunnahs. If you really cannot, then your salah on time. It is like you have to go to exam on time. That's number 2. And number 3, add more to your relationship personal with Allah. Add more Quran. Read the Quran. You're driving, listen. Instead of talking to people or checking, read. I can't come to the masjid every night because whatever the reason, 2 extra rukat alone with Allah. Open the mushaf in your room. Look at the corner. Open the mushaf. Read from it. 2 rukat and feel it. Then you have done a lot. The last but not the least, 1 negative in you, character or negative habit that you will change. If you can do that, you still can go to college. You still can study. You still can do everything. And don't think those who spend all day and night in the masjid are better than you. Allah only knows. Because I don't know the niyyah. I don't know how they will do it. Because they will be asked more than you. When I have the 10 days off and I'm not working, I have somebody who is taking care of me, am I going to be the same that the woman who's running around with 4 kids and everything is going the norm, and then I have to be also spiritual? Her 2 rukaat with all the struggle, way better than 10 of mine. I'm in the masjid in the comfort. So let's not look at people, what they do externally. It's internally is the most important. And whatever Allah allows you, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, anything you do with a lot of struggle is actually even more reward than when you are in comfort zone.
SubhanAllah, I think that's so important. A lot of youth, they get stuck on the lack of time that they have and these things, but they don't realize that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in their time and He'll help them through that.
You know, as simple as you come to the masjid and you find somebody, may Allah forgive us all, put the shoes not in the right place. Just take 1 second. Yes, it's not my shoes. Yes, I'm not going to correct the world, but I want my reward. I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to put it in the right place. This will suffice if you did it for the right niyyah and you had to leave before the end of Taraweeh because you have things to do tomorrow and you can't be that late. You have just done something. 90% of the people in the masjid didn't do it. You did it.
That's the most genuine deed.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing it for Allah. Anything that pleases Allah, don't belittle it. لا يحقرن أحدكم شيئا من المعروف. Don't belittle any good deed. Don't think it's only salah and siyam. I tell people, you have made Islam so narrow. Subhanallah, what about people who cannot stand for a long time? They cannot read Quran. They don't see. There's so, ibadah is a huge opportunity, huge options. Pick up the options, not the easiest one, the one that is feasible for you with your circumstances.
So alhamdulillah, these last 10 nights are here and a lot of us are like gearing up on our spirituality and we're doing a lot more. But at the beginning of Ramadan, a lot of people ask this question is, what is better? Is it better for me to connect more with the Quran on a level that I can, that's more meaningful for me, or to actually do a khatmah? For our youth that have never maybe done one before, what do you recommend?
I recommend whatever is going to get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will put, let's say, a 1 hour of the day for Quran. Number one, you have to really allocate time for the Quran. Don't make it just whenever, because whenever will never be. Right? So I'm going to say, you know what, let me look at my schedule. You have to be very organized in Ramadan. Let's look at my schedule. In the morning is very difficult. I'm running around. Go. Before I go to bed, normally I have time. I have the 30 minutes or 45 minutes or after Asr or after Taraweeh. Everybody is different.
That or this 45 minutes or 1 hour should never change. Should never be compromised. Look at it as you are breathing the air. And that will be the Quran time. I call it again to feel it. I will call it my time with the words of Allah. Don't say Quran. Say the words of Allah. It makes you feel different. Now, in this 45 minutes or 1 hour, how much I can read? People are different. Some people will be able to read barely one page. Alhamdulillah, khairna ala khair. As long as I'm really using all the 45 minutes. I'm not like, no phone next to me, no talking or texting in between. It's like I'm talking to you. Think of it this way. I'm talking to you right now. And then suddenly I go and start texting and I'm talking. How do you feel?
You're ignoring me.
Absolutely. And you are not important, right? I'm giving you the message. This is more important. Imagine this is the words of Allah. So you turn it off and you start your 45 minutes or hour time yourself and start with the Quran. Whether you will want to read one verse and with all the commentary on it and you start crying after reading one verse, that's a lot of khair. Versus, I want to finally in my life, I want to read all this words of Allah. So I'm going to do every day a juz. It's going to take me 1 hour. Let it be. That's also khair. The sunnah is a Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam reviewed the Quran every year with Jibreel once. Except the last year when he passed away alayhi salatu wasalam. He did it twice. But that is not something obligatory. I'm not going to be punished if I didn't do it. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. What is my ability? With true ability. I'm not being lazy. I'm not being procrastinating. I am being realistic. Do what will get you closer to Allah. One of the things I have done, especially when in my residency and afterward, is I used to try to read that juz from that the imam will read. And then when you come and listen to the Taraweeh, it's not going to be something completely strange, right? You've read it. Of course, if you know the Arabic, that's alhamdulillah. But even if you didn't, it's going to be some... And as you are driving, going, whatever, keep listening to the same juz. So in the day, reality, if you read one, listen to one yourself, listen to one in Taraweeh, you've done three khatmas. Yeah. Right? Khatma in listening, khatma in reading, and khatma in... behind the imam, which is usually you will focus bi-idhnillah more than when you listen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But I wouldn't focus on, oh, I didn't do khatma in the Quran. And I say, why is that? Okay. Did you understand one page in this Ramadan? They said, yes. I said, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So allocate time, not amount. Time is the most important.
I think a lot of youth get stuck on just the amounts and all of that, and they feel intimidated. Some of our audience struggles with reading the Quran and understanding it. Do you think that just reading the English is sufficient for them if that's how they connect?
I would recommend reading the transliteration.
Yeah,
because the transliteration will count as you're reading the Quran. Mm-hmm. If you read the translation, you should, because then you will understand what Allah is saying to you, but you're not reading the words of Allah. Transliteration, you're reading the words of Allah.
SubhanAllah. And then if you can give our audience one piece of advice before you log off, what do you say?
I will say, think, may Allah give us all long life. And imagine, when I was coming to the class today, Allah sent me a note saying, tell all the youth, give me one dua in Ramadan, and I will give it. What dua you will do? I will say the following to everybody, not only to the youth. Think of it, this is the last Ramadan you will have. That's it. There's people who are 20 died, or people who are 80 died, or people, Allah, the age is not the guarantee I am living. If this is the, if Allah sent me a note saying this is your last Ramadan, that's it, day of Eid, you're coming back to me, how you will do in this Ramadan? That's it. You're going to look at it very different. You're going to take it seriously. You are going to be focused. You will not waste a minute. That's how you should. Every Ramadan, in fact, well, every day should be like this. But definitely for Ramadan should be like that. May Allah give us life to live. Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Ya Rabbi, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it the best Ramadan for everyone.
Ameen.
Everybody listening to us, everybody will listen to us. Young or not very young. Because we all need this spiritual push to keep going, bi-idhnillah.